I had two games of Gorkamoka and then it was dropped. Because we absolutely trounced the guy who introduced us to it. And it was like, okay.
I don't want to play anymore because you're beating me.
Yeah. it was like, I know the rules, but you're still beating me. I don't want to do this anymore. But that was awesome, Gorkamoka. But I really like Necromunda and such along those lines, the small-scale skirmish games, but it just... there's no future in it, is there? That's what it comes down to.
Well, you don't sell a lot of models. I think that's the...
Yeah.
You know, if you've got 10, you know, 10 models is a gang, they sell 10 models.
Well,
It's not like fantasy when you say, oh, well, let's play 5,000 points. You need to go out and buy another 10 boxes and spend another 200 quid.
Yeah,
Oh, I need one more ganger. So yeah, I guess there's no commercials.
If they'd have just invested in it and kept bringing out updates, like patches, you know, just getting us on the slow feed and just slowly releasing stuff, you know.
I think it's a shame that I've got mixed feelings about it, because I know they've dropped a lot of the specialist games, and I know when they dropped them, a lot of people were quite upset that they're not supporting... I'm not sure how long they've not been supporting Necromunda, but I know they dropped all the Battlefleet Gothic stuff. You could still get some of it on Forge World, and I know they've dropped a lot of that sort of thing. But there's been quite some other interesting stuff. Like, so Mantic have got... they've got Dreadball, which is their version of Blood Bowl. I mean, I've never played it, but it's like, rather than saying I'm going to stick with Blood Bowl, that's like a GW game that's effectively dead, and there'll never be any new models, there'll never be any new rules. It's kind of nice that they've dropped them, so some other company can say, well, we're going to run a violent football game. You know, we're going to run that. And they've done a Kickstarter for Dead Zone, which is kind of a small-scale futuristic skirmish game that kind of you looked at it and thought, oh, that's a Mantic version of Necromunda. So, yeah, in a way, I kind of think it's nice that they are dropping some of these games, give some other smaller manufacturers a bit of room to take it over, and at least if somebody brings out a new game, then yeah, all right, it won't be quite the same old comforting, familiar Games Workshop game, but at least there'll be new models, it'll evolve, there'll be new rules, and I guess you'd be pissed off that you never get to use your old stuff, but... You know, nobody makes no games company makes a living out of you using models that you bought 20 years ago, unfortunately.
Yeah, true.
I bet they'd probably love it if you could bring in some sort of, instead of buying it, you license it and you buy this box of elves, and that gives you a non-exclusive use to use them for 3 years. I'm sure they would do that, but
it's hard to do that with a physical product. Anyway, we'll take a quick break and we're back in a sec.
So welcome back, guys. I've been joined in the command centre here by Math, all the way from the States, to keep the international flavour going. I know we've had a few kind of expat Yorkshiremen saying they like to hear us, so maybe there'll be a few expat Texans who are interested to have a listen to Math and see what he comes up with. Are Texans allowed to leave? Yorkshiremen aren't really officially allowed to leave, but a few of them do sneak out while we're not looking.
The silence.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's the transatlantic cables. It takes a long time.
I don't
have
to quite respond to that intro.
Matt says the NSA has no official opinion on the following subjects.
Oh, we should have totally pretended it were cross line and they were here to spy on us. So
what are you saying?
what have you been up to in the hobby recently, Math? You been doing any exciting gaming or get any modelling done or anything?
In terms of actually playing Warhammer, I've actually been on the low side recently. I've been working around the clock trying to get a new job, working at the current job, and basically my life is crowded at the wazoo. But I did manage to... I've been getting some responses from the Order of Solon book stuff, and people apparently have been reading that. I got emails saying that people wanted updates and asking about clarifications, so I actually had to go back in and force myself to keep writing that thing.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So is that something you do just on your own, or is it like a group of you write that?
Skaven Dan assisted with the original cover back when it was still a relatively new thing. Currently, I've been working with, what's his name, Matthias Orison or whatever. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I did something to the cover?
You made the cover a long time ago. The previous one. You restretched it.
Oh, right. Okay.
That was
photo editing is what I do, so, yeah.
Yeah. Matthias Eliasson, the guy who writes a lot of the fan books off of, like he did Araby, Kisleve, Cathay, Nippon, Albion, Nor, Shastelia. So,
is that one guy that writes all those then? Because, I mean, I'm kind of not that up on the fan side of it.
He writes the vast majority of them.
Right. I just wondered, oh, God, that's quite cool. I kind of thought the guy who were pimping them all out had maybe just put them all together. You know, maybe he collected them and then were kind of getting people interested. I didn't realize he actually were responsible for most of them. Well, that's quite cool. Yeah. I've got a much higher opinion of the guy now than I thought. Because I thought he was trying to take credit for.
Well, it's not Sigmar. Sigmar is someone else.
Right.
No, Sigmar is just a pimp.
trying to
hook up his websites. But the original book was my work, and the initial story and rules and that kind of thing was my invention, and then I've been working with this guy to try to, I guess,
balance it,
make it a bit more in line with the current 8th edition style of books.
How does it work balance-wise, then? Is it fairly balanced, or I've heard a couple of complaints about the fandexes that they tend to be a bit kind of overpowered rather than compared to the GW stuff. People put a lot of stuff in that they think's kind of cool that kind of is a bit game-breaking, so you've managed to get away without that, or?
From what I'm hearing, I mean, based on my own experience, I always ignore my own experience because, you know, rose-tinted glasses are like, everything's perfect. No, it's not. Nothing's wrong with this at all. Don't tell me that. But from other people's experience, I'm getting mostly yes, but some units are still kind of on the lower side. My biggest goal was not to repeat the mistakes that I've seen in GW books, which are you have some units that are really awesome and everyone takes them, and you have some units that you never ever see in a competitive game ever.
I think the internal balance thing, I think if well, I don't know how deliberate it is with GW.
It could be deliberate to try to sell models more or something like that, but
really?
In my opinion, if I were to try to sell models, I'd try to balance out everything so you have incentive to go and
buy the whole range. Yeah, that would make a lot more sense.
That's not. See, corporations know how many Doomwills they sold, so then they go, well, we sold X and X, so clearly we fuck X, make other X awesome, then the rares are going to be fantastic. AKA, all you losers that went out and bought in a bomb, prepare to put it on eBay before the new book comes out. Just saying.
I bought a steam tank.
Stank power.
They're really good. I hate those things.
You know, we really should have a stank, because in the fluff we try repeatedly to steal one.
We had a stolen one, if I recall, according to the old fluff. I don't know if it was retconned out of existence.
There'll be a new
book.
Cares?
We'll get
a new steam tank. That'd be pretty cool. Everybody gets a chariot and a big monster.
Stank.
As long as we don't get flying models or cavalry.
Warps don't stank for the win.
Bonebreaker cavalry. I'll go with that. Don't care if it's against the fluff as long as they're awesome. considering Skaven is supposed to be an underground race, flyers definitely don't make a lot of sense, and I'm not convinced cavalry is a great idea either.
Flyers make more sense than cavalry because they are great big chasms dug out by giant things, and Skaven aren't the size of the things that dig the corridor. So, in a way, flyers more than cavalry.
Yeah, no, we've never had cavalry. I don't see any coming in really. So yeah, so we're gonna have a chat about the Magic Lore and do kind of a bit of a tactica slash review of the. Skaven Magic Lore, see if we can give people a few hints, or see if people can tell us we're idiots and give us a few hints, which would be kind of nice. So,
how are we going to do this then, now there's three of us? Are you going to choose which spells you want to talk about? Shall we do it that way?
We could do, or maybe just stick with doing a run through, and kind of we'll let. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll start off, and we'll see how we go.
We should all participate.
The best professional pre-planned radio methods.
Yeah, Matt's online. Let's invite him to the conversation. The more rats, the better. It's a Skaven way.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we've got strength in numbers now. We've got better way. Leadership now. It's fine.
Yeah, we're up to at least plus two.
So, yeah, so maybe we'll talk about Ruin first. I'm not sure how popular Ruin compared to Plague is. I used to love Plague. I've kind of started going a little bit more for Ruin now, but they're both good lore.
I honestly believe Ruin is the better overall lore, like overarching, covering every little thing that it can. Plague is solely damage. Now, it's good damage, but it's solely damage.
Yeah, that's true. Well, to be fair, I take Plague for two spells. I take it for Wither, take it for Wither and Plague. They're both amazing. And the rest of the lore is middling. Although my opinions have changed a little bit on that.
Cloud of Corruption is all right.
Yeah, Cloud of Corruption is good. I was... I've come round to Cloud of Corruption. Bless of Filth. Poison's all right, but you're still on his strength 3.
Yeah, it's...
Don't knock it.
It's not terrible. It's just kind of it's the only one of the remaining three spells that doesn't really suck, because the other two are bad.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll make a start with Ruin. So first up, we've got Skitter Leap. So this spell can be used on any friendly infantry character within 12 inches, even if engaged in close combat. This includes the caster. The model may be immediately placed anywhere on the battlefield, but must be placed at least 1 inch away from enemy models. And it's cast on a 5+. So kind of one of the nice things about us being on a 7th edition lore is all the casting values are ridiculously low for what the spells do. But yeah, Skitter Leap. I see loads of people on the forum who love Skitter Leap, and I just never seem to make much use of it. I don't know what you guys think.
I don't necessarily think you have to build the army around Skitter Leap to make use of it, but you have to at least have things that take advantage of it. So a Doom Rocket Warlock who can Skitter Leap to the side of the enemy's army and get a nice good shot off. If you want to play cheesy, you can take a Naked Warlock, Skitter Leap into the side of a unit, and that unit can't turn via boxing trick shenanigans.
Yeah, that's a nice tactic. I do like that.
Possibly the best maneuver is if you're going double seer and you have three spells on plague and you default one to Skitter Leap.
If you can jump
in the middle of your enemy and cast Cloud of Corruption and then Wither and then Plague on turn one, that is ultimately soul destroying. Against someone like Warriors of Chaos, if you cast Cloud of Corruption, which is D6 strength 5 hits, you're talking 3-4 hits, you know, wounding on threes, no saves of any kind. You can take off a Skullcrusher with that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I can kind of see these.
Ward saves, but no armor saves.
Yeah, but Skullcrushers have no ward save.
Most things don't have ward saves.
Well, just for example's sake. But yeah, Plague, yeah. The other things, it's one way of circumventing the rubbish range of the Ruin spells, is to go half and half. And go one Ruin, three Plague, one Ruin, three Plague. And then the dude who takes Skitter Leap goes, he has Vermintide, Cloud of Corruption, Pestilence Breath. He just jumps behind the unit and goes, yeah, I'm going to place this template over everyone in this unit.
Yeah, I can see that. That's probably a good use of it. To be honest, I think my biggest problem with Skitter Leap is I run the Screaming Bell like in about 90% of my list. You can't leave the unit. So you can't. All my characters end up in the Bell unit, and I get Skitter Leap, and I'm like, "Well, there's no one I can move with this." So yeah, I think that's probably my biggest problem with it. It's a nice little utility spell, I guess. Everyone says the Doom Rocket guy, move the Doom Rocket guy, but Doom Rockets are freakishly accurate, and I never see.
Oh yeah,
what's the point in going to the side? You hit them if you stood in front.
Because horde formation, most of the time, your enemy's army will be angled sideways. I mean, if you deploy it against the board edge.
Yeah, true. You got
unless you're playing Bretonians, you're always going to be going to have a bigger block going lengthwise than you are going.
I can agree. It's good and it sounds good. But if someone charges you and he's got lots of ranks and you go, I'm going to stand and shoot with the Doom Rocket.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly you decimate his ranks and he's got to charge you anyway, then it can be, I'm going to kill you. Oh, no, I'm not.
So I guess if you comparing it with the other toys, I think where it probably really comes in is a Brass Orb. Not so much the Doom Rocket guy, the Brass Orb guy. Put the Brass Orb guy right next to the big unit of Iron Guts and
Tech. Or a War Machine. Initiative test, fail, dead.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah. So, Skitter Leap, we like that one, I guess. I still never really use it.
I always say I should give my general Skitter Leap, and then every time that I say this, and I don't, my general ends up dying because he can't flee far enough into some obscure corner to get away from whoever's trying to kill him. And it always ends up being the criticised comment, and they're always good to me. Before the game started, Dan, you said you were going to take Skitter Leap, and I was like, will you just shut up?
That's the thing I get with it, is you can default to it, but I always want to default to Curse of the Horned Rat.
See, I never use that.
Oh, I love that spell. Everyone hates it. Anything that makes people hate me, I love it.
Very few people take massive units of infantry now.
Yeah, you don't see. It's not good against massive units. It's the small.
It is in England.
It's the small units
okay,
of infantry.
Okay, fair enough.
It's that 10 archer bunker no. with your level 4 in
Go on,
it.
Then. Give us an example of a big block of infantry math from America.
Right now, the nasty ones are the witch elves. The witch elves with that cauldron of blood.
See, they don't do that over here. Yeah. It's like 7 wide, 2 ranks, that's it.
And so, that's 14. That's perfect.
Take the whole unit off.
I would love to go to England and play against that army, because then Curse of the Horned Rat on that unit, the unit's gone.
Yeah, but it's one unit out of the 9 or 10 he's got.
But it's a free point!
I think, yeah, that's the thing. That's where I love Curse of the Horned Rat, is that it picks up the points. You've got the unit, you've got the characters in it, you can kind of batter it down with your other stuff, and then bang,
if you can finish it off indefinitely. But there's so many things now. A lot of people don't take the big infantry block. A lot of people nerf it in a comp pack. You know, in the UK, just about every tournament has a comp pack.
Yeah,
so it's a bit like, yeah, you know, it doesn't do auto dead. It's per wound and stuff like that, or you get your ward save irrespective.
Yeah, people who get their lookout sirs are like, that's a very, very common one.
But that is the biggest pile of horse shit ever. Because how can you get lookout sir from being turned into a fucking rat?
Yeah, that's true. One of the other rats pushes out the way.
You know, it's like, oh, I feel tingly. I will leap to the side. No.
If we want to put logic into the rules, why does a cannonball hit you know, every single thing that it passes?
Because ours
through?
Is lightning, and that makes logical sense.
Lightning
for everyone
makes sense,
else.
But the other ones,
they don't exist. The other
bouncing
ones,
bouncing cannonballs of doom.
It's a myth. It's a myth.
Yeah, that's. I don't like cannons.
Anyway,
I don't even like my cannons anymore. So, up next, Warp Lightning. Warp Lightning is a magic missile with a range of 24 inches. It causes D6 strength 5 hits. If the number of hits rolled is 1, the caster suffers the strength 5 hit instead of the target. Cast on a 6, so it's nice low casting value. It's nice. It's like the only spell we've got with spell type, so we can actually definitively know exactly what it does.
It's direct damage, means can't be cast into combat not involving slaves. Combat. Must be forward arc, must have line of sight, must not be in combat.
Unless it's slaves.
Or, I mean, the caster must not be in combat, I should clarify.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah. So I think my... Warp Lightning is great if you've got a condenser, is my take on Warp Lightning.
It's
D6 plus 5 hits, not great. D6 plus 2, fantastic.
I don't know. I've taken 3 or 4 level 1s. You know, if you're not comped on how many warlocks you can have, I've taken 3 or 4 level 1s and just thrown one dice at it, and you just look at your opponent's face when it comes up a 5 and you go, yeah, that's cast on a 6. Yeah. I'm going to have D6 strength 5 hits on you.
It's not a bad spam spell.
Yeah, I think and the problem
they just
I've
look
got
at you like
is,
you've just fallen out of a tree or something.
It's not enough hits to wreck like lightly armored stuff. You know, you usually get kind of 10 archers or whatever. It's not really enough hits
but
to
wreck
them.
But it's exceptionally good against heavily armored things or monsters. Monsters usually don't look at it.
Yeah, monsters are not so bad. Heavily armored stuff, it's just they still get their armor saves. It's a 1-up. It takes it up to a 3-up. And
the last time...
That's a lot better than a 1-up.
Oh, it's only warp lightning. I completely destroyed a Chaos Chariot with one power dice on turn one.
Yeah, it's not a skull to be easily ignored. And more importantly, even if they, like, people will choose to ignore it, not necessarily because they don't think it's good, but because they know what comes next, which is Plague, Dread 13th, Wither, so on.
If you start rolling a lot of 5-ups with level 1s, it really starts to piss them off, and you can see it on the face, because they're thinking, you know, it's a 1 in 3 chance of you casting it. You should have failed by now. So if you roll 2 or 3 Warp Lightnings out of 4 Warlocks, they start getting really annoyed.
And even say they have a level 4 to try to dispel that stuff, if they roll a 1 or 2, their caster's down for the count.
That's always been the beauty of the casting value stuff.
And if they try to throw more than one dice, then that's still awesome for you.
They're wasting dice, because it's multiple dice versus your one dice. And you go, oh, congratulations.
And they're going to start with less in pretty much all circumstances. So.
Okay. So next up, we've got Howling Warp Gale. Cast on a 7. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but they enemies suffer a minus 1 to hit. And flyers can't fly.
Yeah. The Flyers Can't Fly is actually more useful at this
point.
The
Flyers Can't Fly is fantastic.
There's not much armies that have decent ranged combat in terms of like straight ballistic skill.
I can't speak for math, but in the UK, I think the majority of annoying armies now, it's either warriors, demons, or dark elves. So
it's right in the good matchups. It's good with the skinks if you can push the skinks.
It's pretty much the same over here. It's warriors, dark elves, and I think I'd put what you said, ogres, or what would you put as the other third person?
Demons, I said.
Demons. No, we would say lizardmen.
Really?
That's the only difference. Yeah.
Lizardmen have dropped quite a bit now.
We still see a lot of lizardmen.
Yeah, but demons are so much more fluffy, aren't they? You know, when they take that full Nurgle list and then top it off with two cannons and some Tzinch units.
Oh, they paint their cannons green. It's fluffy.
Yeah, and I call
the cannon is a corn cannon. It is the least fluffiest thing in the world.
Exactly. So anyway,
Howling Warp Gale, fantastic if they've got flyers.
The person
not great
who
otherwise.
Identifies with close combat and blood would not have a cannon.
yeah, it in itself is a paradox.
It does fire skulls, to be fair. You don't get much more fluffy than
it
firing
should
skulls.
Fire a bloodletter, that's what it should fire. It's like, I'm gonna get you!
That would be cool.
Should it? Really should.
That would be awesome.
It should be bloodletters firing out of the cannon. But yeah, baby, fail this charge. Anyway, we're veering off topic.
Howling Warp Gale, situational, decent against flying things, which is useful, but the shooting thing is negligible now.
It's very good for Warriors of Chaos. It screws up Tzinch, and it screws up Tzinch for demons as well, because there's quite a lot of fast demon units. I mean, the Slashers, Screamers, are very annoying, and that Tzinch Chariot that flies is just, that is horrendous, that thing. If it gets to open up on you, it can cause a hole, especially for Skaven, since it can move 10, pivot, and then breath weapon you.
Yeah, that's no fun.
At a random strength, that can be horrendous for Skaven.
So, next, probably my highlight of the lore, Death Frenzy. Cast on a 9, gives you Death Frenzy, plus 2 attacks. And then...
Is it Death Frenzy is before Scorch?
Death Frenzy is number 4.
Frenzy is one of my favorites for stringing up combos with Skaven.
Yeah, I do like the Death Frenzy. It's,
plus, it's essentially you turn slaves into plague monks for free.
The last time I used Death Frenzy, I cast it just to get some dice out. He didn't dispel it. They ran into a unit of trolls, beat the trolls in combat, and ran them down.
Yeah,
it's, and I was like, that should not have happened in a month or something.
It just gives you a lot of attacks. I think my favourite with it at the moment is I've been trying out my rat star list. So I've got kind of 10 characters in one unit. Death Frenzy is fantastic when you've got three warlords, three chieftains.
Later, anti-hero.
You're throwing out a lot of attacks. Yeah, Blade of Anti-Hero. Blade of Anti-Heroes wrecks my list, but equally, Death Frenzy on my guy with the Fell Blade. We've got 6 Fell Blade attacks.
Yeah, you won't wake up.
So I like Death Frenzy. The other thing I like about it is I've cast it loads of times on slaves or even on my Storm Vermin. I still end up losing combat, being steadfast, but I've lost combat, so I lose my Frenzy. I don't take my D6 wounds at the end of the turn.
Yep.
Up, Scorch. In fact, I said Death Frenzy is my highlight of the lore, but there's a lot of highlights in Ruin. So Scorch, you get a small round template anywhere within 24 inches, and everyone touched takes strength 4 hit, and it's flaming.
This is one of my biggest ones that I want FAQ'd still.
Yeah, so it does anywhere mean that you can cast it into combat.
Yeah, so that's a bad word to use.
So I never,
or out of line of, or out of frontal arc, or.
Well, yeah, anyway, so, clearly it's 3/6. It's not really an issue, but yeah, so the question really is, can you do it into combat?
The way I always play it is 360 arc, definitely, because it says anywhere. I never cast it into combat. I could argue that you can cast it into combat, but people hate us enough. There's a limit to how much I want people to hate me.
Biggest thing with it is that auto panic check. So strength 4 non-scattering round template that can drop just about anywhere.
Yeah, the fact throw that it on a unit of like
small archers or something in the back, and you'll fry 8 of them. The other 2 will run away and never come back. Or you can, the light cavalry units that are running around nowadays, those warlocks.
I've got a 4 at ward though.
4 at ward, you still kill 2.
Yeah, still get 4 of them, so still not too bad. So last one, Crack's Call. Crack appears in the ground at the caster's feet and runs for 4d6 in a straight line in any direction in the caster's arc of sight. Any models in its path must take an initiative test to leap out of the way. Models that fail are removed as casualties. War machines and chariots, must roll a 5+, and you can knock down buildings with it on a 5+ as well. I never seem to have much luck killing much of anything with it, but I have dropped so many buildings on people with it that that's pretty much what it's worthwhile. I hate the watchtower scenario, and if I've got the watchtower, I'm ringing the bell for the knockdown buildings, and I'm throwing Crack's Call at it for the knockdown buildings, and sod it being
if
a watchtower.
If I can't take the tower, no one can.
If I can't have it, no. So yeah, I do like Crack's Call. The other thing is, you very rarely get it off. It's fantastic for stuff like Demon Princes,
ogres.
Ogres, obviously, and the Great and Clean ones, because they are throwing all their dice to stop Crack's Call, because they're not taking that chance that they're rolling a 5 or 6 and they're Great and Clean one and losing him down a hole. It's fairly situational, but it's a nice spell. Cast on an 11, so it's still not a disgustingly high casting value. Pretty good. So, on to Plague. First up on Plague is Pestilent Breath. Cast on a 5+, probably the worst spell in either lore, do you reckon?
No way.
You reckon the worst stuff in Pestilent Breath?
This is
the Tide of Rats. For me, the worst one. Pestilence Breath has its uses.
If you're against an army which has a 1+ armor save, and you can pin the units effectively, and you can put your seer in the right position, you can put that teardrop template down over an entire unit of knights.
Oh, fuck seers. Excuse my language. Sorry.
Use the Plague, not Plague Priest.
Well, whoever.
The Plague Priest will wreck knights with that thing.
On a 5 up.
Yeah, it's a strength 2. Awesome. You're hitting them on 5s.
You don't have to hit them. It's a flame template. You automatically hit them. You're just wounding them. And once they're wounded, they're dead.
This is true. I think the main reason I don't like it is because it's the flame template. It's basically it's a breath weapon. You know, as far as it's pretty much works as a breath weapon. It's a flame template, or if you're in combat, it does automatic hits, but it doesn't do 2d6 like a proper breath weapon. It does d6, and that really winds me up that it's not 2d6.
But that's because it's a spell. Most breath weapons only work once.
Yeah, I suppose.
And then they're gone. You know, yeah, and not to mention, this is an extremely outdated magic deck. And don't forget that they took the best thing about Skaven magic, the multiple casting values, took it off us and gave it to everyone else. I cannot wait for it to come back. For
I think there'll be some nice stuff when we can cast boosted spells.
That is going to get everyone bitching and moaning. When you can do warp lightning on 2d6, 3d6, people are going to start going, holy shit, my knights are never going to make it across the board. And you're going to go, yep, you're right.
And speak not of the knights, speak of the monsters, cavalry, and the chariots, and all the ruckus that's been hitting the tables recently. It's getting annoying just how many bigger models they're trying to throw out.
Yeah, I know it's one, business, this is the problem with the stuff like the Pestle and Breath, is there's kind of, you know, against knights, you got unit 10 knights, you get all 10 of them, that's fantastic. The problem is you'll be hitting like 3 skull crushers. You know, you're wounding them on sixes, so you
might
get one wound through.
But they've only got 2 wounds.
I suppose. I don't know.
And then your guy with his big ass, or sorry, with his big flail will, you know, take off the other ones.
Yeah, that's true. So next I've got Bless with Filth. Cast on a 7. Choose a friendly unit within 12 and give them poison. If they've already got poison, they poison on a 5+.
This is awesome. On gutter runners. I'm just going to jump in there before anyone else says it. So many times people have gone to me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to miasma your bow skill so you can't shoot me.
Oh, that's dumb.
I just go, bless with filth, and they go, but you'll never hit me. And I go, oh, let me cast it then. You know, and stuff like that. And it's just like, yeah, okay, auto wounds on 5 in combat. I have killed in 8th edition with the new Dark Elf book, I ran 5 gutter runners into a dread knight or whatever the hell he's called, cast Bless with Filth, and I killed him. He went, I've got a 1+ save. I went, yeah, well, how many times can you save it? And he died. So I laughed.
It's a nice spell.
It's a fairly decent spell. Even if you can't get it on gutter runners, you can always throw it on either slaves, make them a bit more effective, take some stuff out when they go. Plague monks, of course, it's pretty effective on, since they've got the bucket load of attacks. If you can, by some strange miracle of fate, combine it with death frenzy, then you can turn a unit of storm vermin into the biggest death machine monsters on the planet.
Definitely. Yeah, that is awesome. I have done that before. It's not that hard, actually. Death Frenzy stays on.
I've been running the Flame Banner on my Storm Vermin, and I can see it being it's a nice combo with the Flame Banner. So you get flaming poison for all the trolls, monsters. If Chimera comes in, and you've got how many flaming poisoned attacks? There's definitely good uses.
My recent one, what I was running, 52 Storm Vermin with the Assassin with the blade of 1 wound = 2 wounds.
Weeping Blade.
The one
or wait,
Blade
no,
of Corruption
is in +1 strength. It's the Nurgle one, isn't it?
I think Blade of Corruption?
Yeah. The Nurgle, whatever it's called.
Blade of Nurgle.
But it gives you enough points left over for the other tricks to shard. And in my last game, I positioned it so you ran forward with the ogres, hit the unit of slaves, was pinned, and the Storm Venom were just at the right angle for the flank shot. Charged in the flank, revealed the Assassin, don't have to drink a potion or anything stupid. Strength 5, rerolling failed to hits, wounding on 3s, 1 wound = 2 wounds, and I just destroyed the trolls. No, I didn't have the flaming thing, I had armor piercing by the unit. And I overran straight into a unit of warriors of Khorne and chopped them up as well. I think I killed 16 Storm Vermin, and he went, oh, I'm going to win combat. And I went, no, you're not, because everyone's dead.
So next up we've got Wither. It's cast on an 8. Any enemy within 12 inches, single enemy unit within 12 inches, including in close combat, -1 toughness. And none of this ends. Wither ends when the game ends.
My favourite spell for high elves.
It's one of my favourite spells.
Favourite spell for elves.
They cast that stupid freaking thing and they go, oh, well, I've dispelled it. And I go, oh, well, the game's over then, isn't it?
I guess actually I haven't really given it much thought before, but Pestilent Breath becomes a hell of a lot more effective.
Yeah.
Yes, it does with Wither. It becomes insanely good with Wither.
Yeah, no, that's one. I've not given that much thought because I usually drop Pestle and Breath if I can, but I must remember that combo because that's a nice one. Getting down to toughness two or toughness
three. With any player core catapult works very well because it's auto panic on one move.
Wither with anything with the word plague in it tends to work fairly well. Claw catapult, the spell plague, Pestilence Breath, even the spell that I hate out of all of them, which is Tide of Vermin,
I didn't realize it's so. Place a large round template in base contact with the caster. It moves 46 inches in a straight line. All units touched as it moves over take 3d6 strength 2 hits.
It's the old school Vortex.
Still get your armor saves, but it's. Yeah, it's a big template. For some reason, I thought it was a small template.
It can in the old rubbish. Book, it was
it's
like
a big template, but not, it counts units.
Oh
as
yeah,
the
so
hits,
actually, yeah, it doesn't.
Over.
Yeah, so it doesn't count. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it doesn't really matter what size template it is.
But that can be good and bad because against people who run MSU lists, you know, it's only 10 dudes with 3d6. You can roll 18 hits. It's
strength 2. They still get their armor save.
10.
Oh, don't give me averages. Yeah. Averages never work.
Okay,
it's,
so Vermintide, it's in theory, it's the worst spell in either law.
I disagree massively.
You
have your disagreement.
Yeah.
On averages, Crack's Call's never going to do anything if you're taking a bell.
You reckon Crack's Call's worse? So what's worse than Vermintide in the Skaven laws?
Crack's Call's obviously going to be worse.
Fantastic.
No way. 4d6 on average
more situational.
It's not going to do much, and it's very initiative-based. You can combine Vermintide with Wither, and you can decimate things, and it's more than one unit. Howling Warp's going to be worse than it as well, because it's just a namby-pamby defensive spell. The others aren't really combat either. They're evasive and...
I'll give you Howling Warp, Gale, but I reserve Crack's Call.
Yeah, no, there's no way Crack's Call is the worst spell. So next up,
I'm not saying it's the worst. I'm just saying it's very situational. If you're against an opponent with a good initiative, who doesn't have chariots and doesn't occupy buildings, then it's just a pile of crap. Warriors of Chaos, it's rubbish. Against a demon army that isn't Nurgle, rubbish. All right, not many
against
people.
Warriors. No, it's still good against all the damn chariots.
Chimeras, chariots.
People don't tell them chariots over here. It's comped, you see, chariots.
Oh God!
They usually comped up to three, though. You still usually do see chariots. You're going to see either chariots or chimeras or trolls against warriors. There's not many warriors who don't have any of those guys in there.
Well, he had one chariot, no chimeras, and he had ogres, not trolls, but ogres are crap initiative, aren't they? So I suppose it'd work on them, but you'd have to specifically aim for them, which is one unit in his entire army.
Yeah. Okay, so next up in play, Cloud of Corruption. Cast on an 11. For every unit within 12 inches, so whenever I cast this, I just give my opponent the spell card. Because it's a pain in the backside. So basically, it hits enemy units on a 2-up, it hits your units on a 4-up, and it hits Pestilence units on a 5-up. And everyone affected takes d6 strength 5 hits with no armor saves.
Everyone gets hit by warp lightning with no armor save.
I never used to rate this, but what I tend to find with it is it's a fantastic late-game spell. Like, turn one or two, it's rubbish. You're in the middle of your army, your enemy's over the board, you're going to hit half your army and maybe one unit. But, yeah, once you've kind of mixed it up for a few turns, once you get to, like, turn four or five, there's loads of little units. All the little redirectors, you didn't quite die off, and there's a couple of them left. All those units of Skull Crushers or Knights or God knows what that are kind of kicking around, and it's not a full unit anymore. Cloud of Corruption is fantastic for that. I love it as a late game cleanup spell. Where you just take off, you know, the last two or three models out of two or three units, and it pays for itself. Like I say, I didn't used to rate it, but now I absolutely love this spell.
It can be good early on if you're willing to do the skittily, I'm going to commit suicide and just jump into the middle of my enemy's army and just go, booyah. Because if you do it in the middle and you get it just right, you'll clip one or two war machines and you'll take the odd wound off the war machine, which on turn one doesn't seem like much, but yeah, in the end, it generally is that war machine's dead. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you're like, oh, it's got one wound left. Whereas if you hit it with Cloud of Corruption, manage to scrape a wound off it, then usually it's a good call.
Yep.
Yeah, and so last up in Lore of Plague is everyone's favourite, Plague.
Plague.
Cast on a nice fluffy 13 casting value. It's an enemy.
By far think that this spell is the most devastating number 6 spell out of all the lores.
I don't know.
It's toughness based, but the whole bouncing factor of it combined with, well, okay, maybe you're bloody English meta and it's half sized units of
loneliness. Let me just check something before I up my gob and say something incorrect.
The only problem with it is that it can backfire, which is annoying.
Oh, that's a Skaven whip, Chris.
What I love is... a range of 18 and the backfire is a range of 12.
Yeah, you can definitely avoid it. I think my favourite thing with it is...
You say this is possibly the worst spell. I disagree, right? The Orc and Goblins have the Foot of Gork, which on a 15...
I said this is possibly the best spell when it comes to level 6.
Yeah, but the Foot of Gork, for a 15, you've got 36-inch... It's strength 6 doing D3 wounds.
Yeah, but you don't get the whole unit. You only get what's hit by the foot, and the foot does scatter. Foot of Gork's a nice spell, but it's not as good as Plague.
But to do it big, you're adding a whole 3. You're taking it from 15 to 18.
Yeah, no one ever casts a little version.
And then he stomps like fury.
Yeah, no, Plague's still better. The best thing about the misfire is when you do get the one and it backfires, they always put it on a unit of slaves. Because they're like, there's 60 in that unit, I'm going to kill half of them. That's fine. They're slaves. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. Skaven versus Skaven, when plagues are getting thrown around like crazy, you just see entire units get... They just start vaporizing one at a time. One of my favorite strategies with it is I'll run the Hell Pit up first and then cast Plague on that and try to bounce it on the opponent if it's not close enough yet.
Ah, see, we just talked about this. It actually says one enemy unit, not a unit.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you
I'm
can
pretty
still...
sure. Yeah,
no, it no, says that the first sentence unit. Is choose one enemy unit. You see, the thing with me and Chris is it's comped over here, and in some of the comps it does say that you can target friendly units with it.
I've never seen that, but that's... I think 18's nice enough. You can usually get something with it. I've quite often cast it on like a unit they're not that bothered about in order to bounce it onto a unit I really care about that's further back.
Well, I do remember congering a unit at a tournament. And I checked it with a tournament organizer, and I cast Plague on it, and I bounced it basically from the back of my unit all the way into his army.
What I do is you can cast it into combat, and if you've got a combat with like a unit of slaves or something, it's not that great. But if you've got somebody like a Doomwheel or a Hellpit, if you fail your toughness test, which is not that likely, you take one wound, but their whole unit still takes the Plague.
I don't know, man. I've done that. I was fighting. Stubborn Empire unit, and he had like 14 dudes that would not die, and I had 14 slaves in the front and 15 in the flank, and I still cast Plague because they just would not die.
Oh yeah, I've used it on slaves in combat with like Chaos Knights. Yeah, I've got like 30 or 40 slaves, so they're never killing the Chaos Knights, so why not throw a Plague in there?
Do it. Genocide for the win.
As I said the other day, every Skaven victory is based on a solid foundation of dead slaves.
It's based on Skaven burgers, isn't it? Not McDonald's.
Yeah, so I've got one last spell. We've already talked about it a little bit when we talked about Skitterleap. Curse of the Horned Rat. Cast on a 25.
The highest casting value of any spell in the game.
Yeah, the highest casting value.
Unless you have a power scroll.
That doesn't count.
It's nice for the power scale that it brings it down to a nice fluffy 13 to cast. But it's a single infantry unit within 24 inches in line of sight. If successfully cast, 4d6 the targeted unit's models turn into clan rats. And if you get them all, you get those your models as your own unit. Quite possible. My absolute favourite use for Curse of the Horned Rat is making them think you've got a power scroll, and they save all their dispel dice to avoid Curse of the Horned Rat, and you get all the rest of your lore through. And then you never even have to cast it.
I just... There's not enough people that take big blocks to justify this main.
It's not... I'd never cast Curse of the Horned Rat on them. That's what Plague's for. Curse of the Horned Rat is for that bunker unit with the level 4 in it. All that unit stood at the back guarding their war machines, which is now charging their war machine next turn. That's what it's all about. It's not about getting rid of those 30 guys. Like, there are better spells for that. It's about that. It's the cleanup spell again. So, like, you know, they've got the unit, they've kind of hidden it at the back, trying to stop you getting the points.
The only reason I would take 13th was if I was playing demons. Because they always come out with this, it's a fluffy list crap. And then it'll be a unit of 40 Nurgle warriors backed up by some skill cannons.
And then you get the 14 Nurgle warriors. And you got a free... Well, no one cares about the free unit of rats, because frankly, 14 clan rats aren't going to do anything.
Demons are the only big unit we see. I like the free unit that I see.
I'll tell you what is nice is a big unit?
No, it's not.
40, you said, I think, didn't you? Rather than 40.
40, okay, that's better. Yeah. But then you cast, well, Plague would suck at it.
Plague would suck because it'd be a toughness test, which would only work on 5, and then he'd have his ward save anywhere, an MR, whatever.
Well, yeah, it'd be effective against that situation, but its main use is for other armies, like, you know, vampires who put their guy in a bunker unit, or, let's see, Chaos who does bunker units. Sometimes.
Chaos has Demon Prince or Cavalry. Vampires have Cavalry over here. I don't know about over there, but...
No, you still see Chaos with big units of infantry. The really, really nice use of this spell is the Wither, Plague, and then burn all your Warpstone tokens and your Power Scroll to throw out the Curse of the Horned Rat. And I've taken... units of kind of 30 Black Orcs, 30 units of pretty much 30 anything you can take out in a magic phase and send your opponent crying home like a little girl. That's what it's for. So I don't rate it against big units, so it's a fantastic finish off spell.
All I'm going to say is, damn you, British compacts.
Go on, Matt, go on. Unleash the rage on comp, because it annoys me as well, because you buy a book thinking, ooh, I can take this and that and this.
I would love
and
to
then
unleash
everyone
the rage.
Just goes, you know what, we don't like change. You can take everything you took before the new book. So, fuck you with your new book.
But unfortunately, I do have to go to work, and I will not have enough time to unleash a full... long rant about how much I despise comp. And
well, maybe next time we'll have a chat about comp and what are the comp packs that we see. What's his favorite? What's his least favorite? I can do a going as well because I'm.
That'll have to be for next time.
I'm burning through girlfriend points like crazy now. We've got to 10 o'clock, so I think we'll probably better wrap it up there. So thanks for listening, guys. As always. You can chat with us on the Under Empire forums. You can catch me on Twitter at @SkavenBlightRad. We're on Facebook. Or we've got a website, which is skavenblight-radio.co.uk, where you can catch up with all the podcasts. And we'll very shortly have links to our forum, where you can come along and tell us that we're rubbish or that we're amazing and you love us. Cool show ideas, kind of let us know what you want us to talk about, and we're quite happy to talk about
it. If you have any feedback, suggestions, site suggestions, if you want us to add anything, you know, we own the domain, we can do what we want, tell us what you want, we can do it.
And if you want to call us dirty rotten scoundrels, please do.
Yeah. Dirty for the win.
Yeah, it's always nice to get any feedback at all. I mean, we know people are listening because we see the download figures, but it's always like, it always makes it worthwhile for people to come along and say, you know, I enjoyed it, it was crap. Any sort of feedback. So, yeah, that's it, and we'll catch you next time, guys.